Good morning. We trust and pray everybody is doing well. You know, I always say on a beautiful Lord's Day, and even though it's a little overcast and it's spitting a little bit of rain, it's still a beautiful Lord's Day. Amen? We're so glad that you are here today with us. If you're visiting with us, we're glad that you have joined us at Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. This morning, and like I say, just look around, wave at somebody. You know, we're getting close. We're almost close enough to where you could shake a hand or something that way. If you're in the sanctuary, wave at somebody over there. If you're in the parking lot, wave at someone over there. If you're online, wave at the computer and tell Dr. Gant good morning over there, or find somebody that's on the feed that you know, and give them a hearty good morning, because God's been good to us in a lot of ways, and it is a pleasure and a privilege to have the opportunity to be able to come together today. And a lot of folks may not know it, just simply because of the way COVID has run and what it's done to us over the past 14 months, maybe a little bit more. Today is our homecoming. We're going to talk about that a little bit here in just a few moments, but I want to open us up in a word of prayer. And we're gonna have some good time around the word of our Lord today. Another something that's special for us to be able to celebrate, Caleb Harrell is going to be baptized this morning right after our service. So those of you that are online, don't worry about it. We're going to have you online with us as well. We might take a few minutes hiatus to change buildings over there, but we're looking forward to it. Right, man? You ready? I got all the faith in the world in you. He knows it better than I do. So let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer this morning. Our Father, as we come to you today, again, it is a beautiful and glorious day. And Father, I am so thankful for life and for the opportunity to be able to serve you. Lord, I am thankful for this church. I'm thankful for the mark that it has made in this community. Lord, over the years of its existence, Father, it's made a mark, not a scar, and I'm grateful for that. Father, we know that these have been some crazy and trying times over the past 14 months, but we feel that you're not finished with us yet, and we look forward to what you have in store for the future. We just ask that you would lead us, that you would guide us, and for today, Lord, help us to clear our hearts and minds that we might give ear to what the Spirit would have to say to each and every one of us. Lord, draw us close to you as only you can, and Father, we ask this prayer in Jesus' name, amen.
Buried, carried my sin One day the grave could conceal him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then he arose, over death he had conquered. Now is ascended, my Lord, evermore. Death could not hold him, the grave could not keep him.
About you, but that gets me going this morning, just thinking about one day he's coming. What a glorious day. If you have your Bible, go ahead and turn with me this morning, if you would, to the book of Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. You know, it was 57 years ago this month that Central Baptist Church came into being. It was one of those things where it had been prayed through, it had been thought through on so many levels to be able to get to the point where we are today. In fact, the first thought of Central Baptist Church existence was in 1954. Central Baptist Church is started off as a mission from Union Grove Baptist, and it was in October of 1957 that the mission approved to purchase the 2.9 acres of land in which we sat on. But there was many things that took place prior to that. There were those who gathered together, and they had what was called the upper room prayer meetings, right, JC? All the times that you guys got together and prayed, God help us to be in the community what it is that you want us to be. There was a burning desire. Now, I'm sure that there was hardly anything that you could look at that there was not some sort of an obstacle along the way. Satan always loves to try to shut down anything that deals with what God wants done. So, you know, as they gathered together, as they prayed, Lord, what is it that you want to come about from this prayer meeting? We want to be faithful. We want to be obedient. Those were the early stages as they began to get together, and I believe that they said that the average attendance was about 53 when they started actually meeting together. And in it was July 1958 that the mission actually voted to trade a portion of the building site for a more desirable plot, and in 1958 the mission voted to sell bonds to be able to build the church. It was in September, actually September 28, 1958, that there were plans for the first building that you know as Central Baptist Church was approved. The first recorded business meeting of the church was in July 15, 1959. They voted to sell another amount of bonds to be able to build the building. At the time, the pastor of Union Grove was pastoring both the mission as well as Union Grove Baptist Church. And then it was Hubert Dixon was called as pastor in 1962. Then in January 1964, the mission asked for support from Union Grove to become a constituted Southern Baptist church known as Central Baptist Church. And that became a reality on May the 3rd of 1964. So Central Baptist Church has a long history. There's much more that I could go into when it comes down to that. But as I thought about that, I thought about what goes into a situation such as that. Today, we celebrate this thing called homecoming. Now, a lot of times, you know, people who didn't have the privilege or opportunity to grow up in or around church, when they think of homecoming, they think of a football game and you crown the queen. Homecoming is that time where we all come back to just celebrate a lot of the memories, a lot of the things that had taken place during our time at the church. A lot of those folks who maybe grew up in the church, who are grown, have families of their own, they come back, they remember the glorious times. They remember the times that God moved in their heart in such a special fashion that it is memorable forever. And man, let me tell you one thing. That is something that I love to do. Now, we all do that. We all like to do those type things. If you don't live in the same hometown where you grew up, there's something special about going back and reminiscing some of the old memories. How many of y'all do that? Don't tell me I'm the only one. If you ever have those opportunities, you go back. You'll remember that special fishing spot on the river. You'll remember, even if you go back maybe to your old high school. Now, I did say good memories. That could bring some bad memories as well, depending on what kind of a student you were and how things went. But then you look at things that you just remember. There were good times. They carry you to a particular area in life. And homecoming at church is designed to do the same thing. As you come together, you can remember the times. Maybe you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior during a service here at church. Maybe you were married here. Maybe those are some things. Maybe you were baptized here. All those things that just bring back really, really good memories. Yeah, there are also some things that will bring back some tough memories. Maybe the church was a special place to you as you went through a very trying time in your life. Many of us, we talked a moment ago about the fact that some folks that have gotten married here, they're probably good memories, but they're probably some of those hurtful memories as well, as you can remember laying a loved one to rest in this place. But Central Baptist Church has been a central point in the hearts and the lives of so many people for so many years. And homecoming is a time when we celebrate that as a church. So there are some special things when we think about home, when we think about having that opportunity to go back and be where it's comfortable and to be able to celebrate those things. But here's something that we need to be reminded of, not only today, but every day. And there's some several scriptures I'm going to throw at you today, but along the theme or the line of what it is that I believe the Lord wants us to know and understand today comes out of Philippians chapter 3 and verse 20. Philippians chapter 3 verse 20 says, "For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ." Let's pray. Father, you're good to us. We ask that your scripture would just take root in our heart. Lord, I pray that it would spring forth so many thoughts that you're going to give us today, not only for right now, but Lord, as we go forward. I pray that we will be forever changed because we've had the opportunity to gather around your word this morning. Lord, I pray that as we go away from this place, that we will do so with a new heart and a right heart. Lord, I pray that if there's one in earshot that doesn't know you, Father, whether it's on the property, whether it's watching online, wherever it may be, Lord, I pray that today would truly be the day they would give their heart to you, that they would receive true salvation that only comes through the shed blood and death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Lord, today, may this be the best day of their life ever. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we look at that particular verse, there have been songs that have been written over the years that talk about as believers, as those that are born again, we are strangers and we are aliens in a foreign land. This is not our home. This is not where, you know, where we reside. There's this term called a sojourner. We are just passing through this life. And I think it would be good for all of us to remember that as we live our lives on a daily basis, that this is not the end. This is not the best. And even though we come to celebrate that as a church, we come to celebrate our Father and His only begotten Son that sacrificed His life on Calvary's cross and picked it up that we might have eternal life. Even though we come to celebrate that, this is not the best there is. I want us to know that today. And the reason why is because we've gotten really, really good lately at giving lessons out of God's Word, but too many times we don't talk about what's going to happen after life. We don't talk much about heaven, and we don't talk much about hell anymore, do we? It's almost like that thing that everybody thinks, well, it's the big pink elephant in the middle of the room. Let's just not talk about that. There are those today that say, well, you know, if you talk about hell, hell's one of those negative connotations. Hell's one of those things that people don't like. It rubs people the wrong way. Well, folks, let me tell you something. Hell is a real place, and whether you like it or not, the facts are the facts. Hell is an eternal place. Hell is a place which burneth with fire and brimstone forever and ever and ever. And if you are not prepared, if you have not trusted Jesus Christ, that will be the place that you will spend all of eternity, which is completely unfathomable to our minds in this day and age. You can't comprehend eternity. And just as hell is real, and just as hell is eternal, so is heaven. The place that the Lord has created for us, for those who love Him, for those who trust Him, for those who believe in what He did on Calvary's cross, there is a better day coming. That should be good news to all of us, amen? Yet to think about the fact that when we think about the concepts of heaven as the Lord has given those to us, there are several things that we can think about. So let's think about them for just a moment. When we consider heaven, you know, we come together and we think a lot of our church, which is a good thing. But church is not the ultimate end-all, be-all. Church is a place where it's designed for us to be able to come as believers, to gather around the common cause of Jesus Christ. It is a place where we come to be teammates. You know, if you're going to be a teammate, you got to have a team, right? This is the place where we come because the world doesn't like believers. So this is the place that we should be able to come to gain strength from others, to fellowship with those who are fellow believers. Not the place to come and be cut asunder. Not the place to come and take part in political type things. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying there's politics in everything, folks. We just have to admit that. But it's a place for us to be able to come and love one another. It's a place for us to be able to come and share with one another, to bear one another's burdens, to learn from His Word, to grow in His grace. I think about what church, and when I talk about church, I'm not just talking about here in Oak Ridge. I'm talking about the church universal, what it would be like if it was as described in the book of Acts. Have you thought about that? In the book of Acts, it talks about, you know, as the church was being formed and as it was being formulated, it said that they came together and they fellowshipped and they gathered around, you know, the scriptures, and they loved one another, they heard the word. And if you remember, it even says that everybody had, they sold it so that if there was one in need, they didn't have a need anymore. Could you imagine what it would have been like to have been a part of the church in Acts? That's what the Lord expects of us today. That's what His house is supposed to be like. That is what 57 years ago, those faithful few from Union Grove set out to accomplish here in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. To make this place be a beacon of hope in Jesus Christ. To make this place a unit where the gospel message is preached. To make this place a place where people can come in and where they can grow in Him. where they could get into the Word, where we could do life together with the commonality of Jesus Christ. Let me ask you, is that what we have today as far as the church universal? Is that what we have today as far as the church we know as Central Baptist Church? We are sojourners. We are just passing through. One of the illustrations that I love to use, just because I heard it from a really old country preacher back in my hometown one time when he was explaining this, and it was just in conversation over lunch one day, and got to talking about heaven. And there was another fellow that was listening, and I love the way the old preacher described to him. He said, you know, he said, let me tell you something, son. He said, have you ever stayed in a hotel room? And the younger fellow said, well, yeah. He said, you ever rearrange the furniture? And guy's like, well, no, it's not my place. He said, yeah, that's right. He said, but have you ever just not liked the layout and thought you'd like to maybe change it around? Now, there might have been a day when you could have actually done that. Now, I think they have everything bolted to the floors and the walls. You can't move anything. But the ironic part about that whole thing is he told the young man this. He said, you can rearrange this room any way you want to. You could move the bed. You could move the chest of drawers. You could move the little refrigerator. You could rearrange it any way you want. But it will never, ever be home, will it? And the young man said, well, no, it'll never be home. Well, folks, let me tell you, this will never be home. This is nowhere near like home. We're sojourners. This is the hotel of life. But we're not meant for this. We're meant for far more. So what is it? You know, we talk about heaven all the time, but we just get to the point where we don't describe it much anymore based on what the Word of God tells us. So what does the Bible tell us about the place that we're going to go as a born-again believer? Now, before I get into it, here is something that we need to understand. You know, particularly lately, we've had a lot more funerals around here than we have anything else. Lately, we've been taking the time to honor those who have gone before and those who have entered into the kingdom of heaven, which they've been striving for. Now, hold that thought. Which we've been striving for since the day we received Christ. Are you truly striving for heaven? Is heaven the place that you look forward to? Is heaven the place that you've just created as some cosmic thing far off, that it, since it's not right here, it's out of sight, it's out of mind? Have we done that? Or are we truly looking for, preparing for, and aiming for this thing called heaven? Are we looking forward to the day when we get to look Jesus face to face? Are we looking forward to the day that we enter into the glory that He has prepared for us? Now, a lot of us will sit back and say, and there was a term that's been used before, and I get it. It says so much in such a little phrase where people will say, heaven's my home, but I ain't homesick. Yeah, it's not like I want to get up a load today. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, but I want to be able to spend as much time here as we can. And why do we want to do that? Because we have friends and family and loved ones that we care about, and we know that the Word tells us that to be absent from the body means to be present with the Lord. And it's hard for us to want to take that step away from loved ones to step into the bliss of our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, particularly since we've dealt with that a lot around here lately, particularly in the past several weeks, here's something that we need to understand. We need to view it from the perspective of those who have seen Jesus, those who have entered into the place that He has prepared, those that have looked upon His face. Do you think they want to come back? Do you think that this is a great, great trade to give up the world to gain eternity with the Lord? I believe it is. So what is it that the Word tells us about this place called heaven? See, heaven has mansions in it where we're going to dwell with Jesus. You've heard it a million times, but has it ever sunk in? In John chapter 14, where it says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Do we keep those passages in the forefront of our mind? That Jesus said, I've gone to make a place. I'm coming back. I will be back. And the reason I'm coming back is to take you to be in the place where I am, to be in my presence, to be around me. Is that what we want? Folks, I think that we need to be challenged today to have a checkup, you know, pertaining to our heart. Do we really want to be with Jesus? It sounds great when we're sitting in church on Sunday morning to say, yes, I want to be with Jesus. Do you? Do you really look forward to that time? Do you really look forward to those moments when we will have that chance and have that opportunity? Or is it just something that we do? Is it has being in God's house become something that we do habitually because that's what we've always done? Is it something that we do just to keep somebody happy? Did you show up today to meet Jesus here? Did you show up today with anticipation that the Lord has a message for you? If you didn't, then might I suggest a checkup of your heart? Why did you show up today? Are you looking forward to the mansion that Jesus has prepared for us? Do you anxiously await that time? You know what? If it was a trip to Hawaii, you'd be planning all along, wouldn't you? You'd be buying up different things. You'd be finding your Hawaiian flower t-shirts. You get excited when it starts getting close to time for that trip. Or if you go to Disney, you blow the dust off the Mickey Mouse ears and you get ready to go, because it's exciting. You're looking forward to it. How forward are we looking to stepping into eternity and seeing the face of our Savior? Heaven says there's a place prepared for you. Heaven's also a city that is built for worship. Now, this one's going to get a little tough. I've heard people who sit back before and say, well, you know what? I don't like church. I don't like worship. You know what heaven's going to be all about? Worship. Worship. There was a statement one time that said I'd like to go to heaven for the climate, but to hell for the company. Not a very good statement, is it? But that's what people say. They're like, yeah, listen, folks, if you don't like coming together around the word of the Lord, if you don't like coming around and worshiping him today, then let me tell you something. Heaven is going to be something interesting for you if you make it there. Because that is what it's all about. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 22 and 23 says, but you have come to Mount Zion and the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, to general assembly and church of the firstborn who are registered in heaven, to God, the judge of all, to the spirits of just men made perfect. See, the Bible passage right here tells us, it gives us some detailed descriptions of the city of the living God, a city that is built for worship. Revelation 7, 9, and 10 says, after these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. We're going to worship in heaven. That's what we're going to do. That's what it's all about. Are you ready for that? For some people, they're like, oh, I just don't know. I'm too busy today to do that. Church is boring. Well, let me tell you this, folks. If church is boring, I'm going to say something that you might think controversial, and it might even make you mad. If church is boring, that's your fault. Because you didn't come for the right reason. When you have an encounter with God Almighty through His Word, there's nothing boring about that at all. At all. The question is, have you experienced Him? The question is, are you doing it right? You see, the believer loves the opportunity to come together and to fellowship. That is what drove people 57 years ago to say, I want to make that a reality in this place called Oak Ridge. We want to strive. We want to build a church. We want to put a place there where people can come and where we can laugh together and we can weep together and we can worship together. A little slice of heaven on earth is what it should be. Is it? Is it that way for you? Heaven is going to be a place that is filled with peace and joy and praise. Revelation 7:15-17 says, therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in the temple. Day and night. Did you get that? If you think I'm long-winded, wait till you get to heaven. Day and night. They will serve him in the temple. And he who sits on the throne will dwell among them. They shall neither hunger anymore nor thirst anymore. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat, for the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them and lead them to living fountains of water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Wow. Heaven. So what does heaven look like? When you think about it, I mean, you know, people try to describe it in so many different ways, but see, I'm just telling you what the Word says. I'm just telling you what the Word of God tells us that heaven's going to be like. You realize that there'll be precious gemstones in heaven. Revelation 21, verse 9 says, come, and I will show you the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me the great city, the holy city, Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. Her light was like a most precious stone, like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Heaven's going to be a place that will truly have the pearly gates and truly have the streets of gold. Revelation 21:21 says, the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. That's what you see. All the stuff that we are so aimlessly wandering around searching for in life, the wealth and the riches, that's going to be pavement in heaven. It's like that joke, and you've heard me tell it before, but about the fellow who had a lot of money on this earth, and he wanted to take his money with him. So that was his request. His request was that when he died, he'd be buried with his money. And, of course, you know how the jokes go. It says when he got up to heaven and got through the gates, he said he had a wheelbarrow that had all of his money in it, and he was smiling, and he was wheeling it down the streets of heaven, and people were laughing at him. And finally he overheard one fellow in heaven look to the other one and say, hey, look at this guy. He brought up a load of pavement. That kind of puts it in perspective, doesn't it? When you think about it, that's all the stuff and the wealth and all the things that we chase, that is like pavement in heaven. You're going to walk on that. It's going to be nothing. And yet we will spend our whole lives chasing that. I can say this, if that's the case, enjoy it now, because you're not taking it with you. Word of God tells us, into this world we came with nothing, and we will leave this world with nothing. The question is, have we laid up our treasures onto the other side? The things that are done for the Lord. What is it that is driving you today? Is Jesus part of it? That's what I want to ask you. Is Jesus part of it? Do we have the glimpse of that place called heaven? You see, there's something else that I find very interesting that we will see in heaven, and that is the tree of life. Revelation 22:2 says, in the middle of its streets and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the trees were for the healing of the nations. And remember the tree of life? That you can trace that all the way back to Adam and Eve. Remember that? Now, some of y'all are sitting there saying, oh, I think the preacher misspoke because that tree that they were talking about in the Garden of Eden was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, when you're talking about Adam and Eve, you're absolutely correct. That was the forbidden fruit that they partook of. But if you remember, see, too many times we don't finish the story. If you remember how the story of Adam and Eve continues on, it says that the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit had a meeting. After Adam and Eve, you know, we're going to be expelled from the garden, and said, we got a problem now. And the problem we have is they're not allowed to partake of the tree of life, which was also in the garden. You know why? Because had they partaken of the tree of life, they would have had eternal life, they would have had immortality, and therefore there would be no way for salvation. That's why the Bible tells us it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. If Adam and Eve had partaken of the tree of life, then they would have been in a forever perpetual state of sin with no way for redemption. The tree of life. It says that God put an angel to guard it. Now, I can tell you this much. I have read descriptions of angels in the Word of God. Haven't you? Yeah, you know, when you think of an angel, what do you think about? Now, if you're like most of us, when you think about an angel, you think about one of the cutest little girls you ever saw, dressed up in her little white thing with a little halo that comes up, and you see him at the Christmas place coming up and hovering around the trough that Jesus was laid in. Isn't that what you think of? Well, let me tell you about some angels. They have different assignments. Now, there might be some that are cute, okay? There may be some, but let me tell you the ones I'm thinking of. Y'all remember the description of the angel that talked to Balaam? Remember that? As a matter of fact, that's the talking donkey thing. And by the way, if you're tuning in for the first time ever and you hadn't heard the talking donkey thing, man, it's worth your time. Look it up. But it says Balaam was riding his donkey. Probably wasn't as cute as the one you saw the other day on your wall. But he's riding his donkey along. And it says that there was an angel of the Lord with a flaming sword that was standing in the way. Flaming sword, does that sound like precious? As a matter of fact, Balaam's donkey's walking along and he sees this and goes, starts going the other direction. And it says that Balaam gets out there and just slapped him as hard as he could. Jerked him around a little bit. Got on that donkey and started going down there again. And then it says that what happened was he started going through, eventually got to where he was going through a place that the donkey was having to walk past the angel, and it was scooting way over to the side, and it says he crushed Balaam's leg against the wall. He beat that donkey. And now here's where it gets interesting. Now, I'm translating here. I'm giving you a little translation for the modern day. Balaam's beating this donkey, and that donkey says, how come you hitting me? Did you get that? The donkey said, yeah, your coffee's kicking in. The donkey says to Balaam, why are you beating me? Have I ever done you wrong before? How many of y'all think that's bizarre? How many of y'all have ever heard a donkey talk? And I ain't talking about Mr. Ed from the old days. Talking donkeys, anybody ever seen one? Cool, we'll have to talk later, okay? Talking donkeys don't happen. Now, if that's not bad enough, if that's not enough, not only did the donkey ask Balaam, why are you hitting me? Balaam tells him what? Balaam answers him. You're just not doing right. You're supposed to be. I think I'd have been shocked that the donkey was talking, number one. Didn't even faze him. He's sitting there talking back to the donkey. Then he saw the angel that he hadn't seen. But then he saw the angel the donkey had seen. Then is when he hit his knees. Do you remember what the angel said to him? Again, I'm paraphrasing here, but this is what he said. Y'all not beat your donkey, because your donkey saved your life. I was going to kill you. Now, I don't think that was one of your little angels all wrapped up in a sheet with a little halo. It says he had a flaming sword. Angels go to battle. Angels have tasks that are given by the Lord. The angel of the Lord was there to guard the tree of life. Here's the cool part. You and I will get to see that. If you're a believer, if you spend eternity in heaven, you will get to see and experience the tree of life in heaven. Isn't that cool? It's going to be neat. Know what else heaven has? Heaven has the light of God. Revelation 22, 4 and 5 says, they shall see his face. Half the time it's hard to get past that. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light. And they shall reign forever and ever. What is our perspective when it comes down to heaven? Are we really living for that place called heaven? You know, we take comfort in it. I think about, as I mentioned before, the many funerals that we've done over the past several months, and as of late, the past several weeks. You know what? It hurts our heart to know that we're not going to see these folks again. But let me tell you what really makes my heart smile is when I think about what they're experiencing right now. I think about the infirmities that they had on this earth that they don't have in the presence of God. I think about the smile on their face, the awesomeness of what they're experiencing. Then I think about us here. Boy, they're a lot better off than we are, aren't they? No more sorrow. No more suffering. No more pain. The place where you're in the presence and in the midst of the Savior, where you can worship him, where everything is better than you've ever known it, ever seen it, and it won't be one less day to sing God's praise than when you first begun. And we say that when we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less day. That's one grain. 10,000 years is one grain of sand on all the oceans of life compared to eternity. So my question is, are we really looking toward heaven? See, that is what Central Baptist Church is all about. That is why for 57 years, God has allowed us to serve right here in this community. It is why he placed us in this community. To be the one to point people to Jesus, to point people to heaven, to lift him up, as the word says, that he might draw all men unto him. And let me tell you what the founding fathers of our church did not do. They didn't quit. Now, one of them sitting right here. Been there from the early days of the prayer meetings. But you've seen a lot of good stuff, hadn't you, JC? But you've had to endure a lot of bad stuff along the way too, hadn't you? You have laughed and you have cried. You have seen tremendous moments. You've seen tremendous victory, and we have also seen tremendous defeat. Where do we stand for the future? Will there be those who will continue on the legacy, the 57 years of those who have gone before us? I always use the statement, we see further down the road because we stand on the shoulders of those who've gone before us. What will the next generation see from us? Quitting's easy. Are we going to quit? Are we going to view it for what it is? Are we going to knuckle down? Are we going to just go up and tell Satan he's not going to be allowed to do this? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will stick. We will stand right here. And regardless of what happens, we will not quit, that the next generation may continue to know about Jesus, may continue to grow in Jesus. Yeah, it might look different. We look a little goofy right now, don't we? But you know what? God is with us. God is leading us. And the question is, where do you stand? And oh, by the way, it's not someone else's responsibility. It's all of our responsibilities together. It's our responsibility to come to love one another, not talk about one another. It is our responsibility to reach out to the brothers and sisters to make this a place where people want to come, where they can, where we can do life together, where we can cry together, where we can support one another. How many sinners have I got in here today? How many sinners have I got online? How many sinners do I have out there in the cars? How many sinners do I have over in the sanctuary? You see them hand? Yours is one of them. We don't have a right to classify somebody else's sin. We are all sinners saved by grace, and we should be compassionate. We should love. That doesn't mean that we don't correct, but that means that we should be able to tolerate one another. Now, why do I preach that? Because today's society tells us that we don't tolerate anybody or anything, doesn't it? If you don't do it my way, I don't like you. If you don't do it this way, then it's not right. And we become boisterous. We become agitated. We become combative at times to try to make sure that we get our way. Listen, how about let's do it God's way? Whatever that may be, let's do it His way. And you know where it starts? It starts with us loving one another as He loves us, forgiving one another as He has forgiven us, striving for the kingdom of heaven. I don't know about you, but man, I'll tell you one thing. I can't wait to get there. I'm really looking forward to it. Does that change your perspective on death? Does it? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to self-inflict something to try to get there. Negative. But I know this. God's placed me on this earth for an amount of time that He knows how much it is. And when my time is done, I'm going to be in His presence. And I'm going to be glad. But let me tell you what's going to happen. If you do it right, you're going to have some scars. You're going to be comparing some scars in heaven. See this one? That one was the uprising of 1985. This was the, you know, this is where I went. This was the time that I got fired from work because of what I believe. This was the time. There are going to be scars. You got scars, don't you, brother? Church isn't something we do. It's something we are. That's what it is. Are you a part of the body? Well, let me tell you this. And this is what I'm going to close with. I'm going to ask Lynn if she'd come on up and take her place. When we think about heaven, when we think about its glories, and when we think about all the goodness that God has prepared to bestow upon us, when we think about our church, does it reflect that? Do we reflect that personally? Does our church reflect that? Here's the one thing I want us to be able to hold on to. It's yet another verse. It's the verse of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9. It says this, "But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." Did you get that? If you believe the Bible, you've never seen anything as beautiful as what God has planned. You have never heard anything as beautiful as God has planned. It has not even entered into your heart the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. Do you want to miss out on that? Is that something that you want to be a part of? Well, it all starts not because of being a church attender. It all starts with having a personal relationship with a holy God. That's what makes all the difference. Not whether you come to church, not how much you've got, not how much you give. It's about your personal relationship. Do you have that? I like what a guy said one time. It was two fellows that was arguing, and one guy said, well, I have a personal relationship with God. The other one said, well, then why don't you start listening to him? I was like, I don't know if I need to get up in the middle of this one or not. What's he telling you to do? First of all, my question is this. Do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Are you saved? Are you born again? Are you part of the family of God? Not just the family of Central Baptist, the family of God. Are you part of that? If not, and that's what the heart's cry today is, then I'm simply asking you this. Just bow your head, close your eyes where you are, and say, Lord Jesus, today I know I'm a sinner. Come into my life. Save my soul. Help me, Lord, to live for you. In Jesus' name. Hey, listen, if you did that and you meant it, you had a conversation with the Father. He heard your prayer. All the saints in heaven are rejoicing. Your name's being recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life as a believer. And he says, welcome to the family. Welcome to the family. Now act like you're part of the family. Well, how do you do that? Got a couple of guides for you. There's 66 books that tell you how to do it right here. You start getting into that, when you start growing in grace and faith. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, please let us know. We'd like to get you some discipleship material to help you on your journey, to help you grow. We want to celebrate with you. We want to talk to you about baptism. It's something we're going to be having here in just a few minutes. Baptism is not an element of salvation, but it's an act of obedience following salvation. It's that public profession. It's saying, yes, I am a follower of the Lord, and I want everyone to know that. Have you been baptized? Let me ask you this question. Have you been baptized since your conversion? Now, listen, I hear it all the time. There's a lot of folks, some of you that are listening at home, some of you that are sitting here, you thought you accepted Christ when you were younger and you were baptized, and it wasn't until later on that you really understood what was going on. And it wasn't until later on that you really accepted Christ into your life, and you haven't been baptized since. And what happened was you got wet when you was little. Now it's time for you to be baptized. Are you going to be courageous enough to stand in the face of the devil and say, you know what, that was me. I was one of those people. I didn't really have the concept. I did it because the other ones did, and I got baptized just like they did. Now I had that moment with God at my bedside, or I had that moment with God when I truly accepted him. Have you followed in believer's baptism since you've trusted him? Uh-oh. You know what the problem with that is? The Lord just tapped on some hearts right there. And it's those that are, it's probably, it could be those that are deacons and Sunday school teachers and leaders and preachers and everybody else. But you're like, I can't get baptized. They all think I'm saved. Let me tell you, the example of you being obedient to God when it's coloring outside the lines is far greater testimony than what you think you might have going right now. Is that you? You need to be baptized? Hey, we got water over there. We got clothes. Don't let Satan talk you out of this. If that's you and you're here, then you just need to meet me over there at the baptistry in just a few minutes. What was it Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch said to Philip? He said, here's water. What doth hinder me? We got water in the next building, and it's good and warm, according to Jimmy. Come on in. The water's fine. Have you done that? Maybe you need to do that. Listen, maybe you're here today and you've been doing everything except what you're supposed to be doing. Not even, it's indescribable. You have not been walking with the Lord. You have not been representing him. You have not been looking forward to the kingdom. You have just been existing. Oh, you're saved. The conviction's been there. Just hadn't stuck. Maybe today you just need to bow your head and say, Lord, I'm coming home. I know you. I know I'm wayward. My thoughts aren't in the right place. You have my heart, but it's not in the right place. Help me, Father, to return to you today in Jesus' name. Listen, if you did that, the burden has just been lifted from you. But repentance means not to go back down the same road. Have you repented? Will you allow that repentance to liberate you through forgiveness from God the Father? I'm going to give us a few announcements to close us in a word of prayer. I'm going to make my way over to the sanctuary for those of you who the Lord has said, today's the day. You know, you need to follow in believer's baptism. Come on over with me. You'll see me go out the door. If you're in another building or out in the parking lot, just meet me inside. You can find me. I'm not hard to find. Just hunt me down. Find the pool of water. Meet me there. One of those. Listen, if you're online, don't let the moment get away. Tell Dr. Gant, look, here's where I am. You know, I need to follow in believer's baptism. I need whatever it is. He's right there waiting. Jesus is waiting. Dr. Gant's waiting to hear from you. Will you make that step today? I'm just simply going to ask in these next few moments, if you would, in silent prayer, you do business with God as Lynn plays.
There is a light that burns in the darkness. There is a hope that washes the fear away. There is a peace that settles around us. It is your love that sets the hearts ablaze. Father, we're on our knees with every heartbeat. We bring you this offering. Lord, come and fill this place. Father, we're crying out. Spirit, we need you now. Glorious love surrounds us. There is a king who reigns in victory. There is a mercy strong enough to save. Feel it rising up from the ashes. There is love that overcame the grave. There is love that overcame the grave. Father, we're on our knees with every heartbeat. We bring you this offering. Lord, come and fill this place. Father, we're crying out. Spirit, we need you now. Glorious love. Love, come and fill this place. And I will worship you. I will worship you. place.
Amen. Lord, come and fill this place. Philippians 3:20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I trust that that can be all of our prayers today as we leave this place. Just a couple of quick things. Probably in about, we'll be going off the air for those of you who are viewing online, but we will come back on for the baptism probably in about 10 minutes. Caleb Harrell is going to be going through the waters of baptism here in just a few minutes. For everyone who is here, please take that moment. If you're in this building, just walk over to the sanctuary. It'll only be a minute or two. If you're outside and you can step in, we would love to have you celebrate this this wonderful, wonderful time of obedience with us as a church family, also with Caleb. A couple quick things. Don't forget, be faithful to your tithe and offering. We have our offering boxes. If you're outside, there's one out front, or Jana's been through to pick them up and make sure they get in there. If you're leaving here, the box is sitting on the table. If you're in the sanctuary, the plate's up front. If you're watching online and the Lord has led you to contribute, you can go to our website, www.oakridgecbc.org. You'll see a giving tab there. That keeps the ministry going. That'll give us hopefully another 57 years down the road of faithfulness as we continue to go forward. Real quick, coming up this week, you want to be sure on Wednesday, wish Dr. Pete Inover a happy birthday, as well as this coming Friday, Ansley Fondo. You want to be able to wish her a happy birthday as you think about that. Tonight is the final, the final meeting as we start into the summer for Awana. Special thanks to Tony for all the leaders, all the workers who took a really crazy COVID situation and just kept on beating on it. Thank you for your faithfulness, for your steadfastness. That's why we've been here 57 years and why we will continue to be here 57 years from now, through the good, through the bad, through the difficult, and through the easy. Thank you so much. That will begin at 5:30 for everyone tonight. Okay, Tony's got a plan. I think it's scheduled more fun tonight. There's going to be awards. That'll be up front, and then a lot of fun. I think, from what I understand, we will have inflatables inflated inside, man. What more can you ask for? Come on back to the arena, 5:30. But at any rate, we're going to celebrate our kids and their accomplishments through Awana this year. Okay. I am going to go ahead and dismiss us in a word of prayer, and I'm going to head over to the other building. Please, please, please join us. That's what it's all about, being able to celebrate God's glory in everything that we do. Let's pray together. Father, you're good to us. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. Lord, thank you for the 57 years that you have given Central Baptist Church. And Lord, thank you for the faithful, Lord, who started off in with hearing your word about a concept that grew to prayer meetings in an upper room, that grew to what we see today. And Lord, it was not by accident, and Lord, it was also not easy. So Father, today as we celebrate, may we celebrate those and the hard work that has been placed, the lives that were put on the line, those who were faithful to the end. And Lord, those that we pray will continue to be as well. Lord, the future of our church is in the hands of those who are present. So I pray, Father, that you will continue to help us to strive to be instruments in your hand to reach our city, to reach our county, our state, our country, and the outermost reaches of the world. Father, be with us in these few moments as we prepare for baptism. And Lord, we look forward to celebrating with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Online crew, we'll be back here in about 10.